Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
I want you to get together.
We need to talk about the digital ID situation, don't we? I think that's on everyone's mind, especially if you're from the UK. This is the thing which is causing big waves in many ways, and I have a few thoughts about it. I've been observing, keeping quiet. I haven't made an initial announcement when it first happened or make a statement about it, because I just need to see how this is panning out first and what the public opinion generally seemed to be on the matter. And I had to kind of think about what would the future plans be here exactly for this? Why roll this out now of all times? What's going on around this exactly? What are we missing? And I think that's the question we should always be asking ourselves whenever big moves get played on the board. And you know, this comes after a turning point moment, doesn't it? You know, after the death of Charlie Kirk, I feel like maybe a signal was sent when that happened, which has made our government, at least in the UK, make a move. Because I do think a lot of these, whenever something happens on the world stage, I feel like messages and esoteric signals are being sent to the secret societies to indicate when it's time to do the next thing in the agenda and in the plan. And it seems like digital ID is a next step. And I don't know yet. I only heard about this about an hour ago. Someone in the comment section said that Trump is about to roll out the exact same thing in America. I don't know anything about that. Don't quote me. I could be wrong. But let me know in the chat now if that's the case, if something similar is literally in the pipeline for you in America. But perhaps most of the Western world is going to start rolling these out very quickly now. I heard that the Canadian Prime Minister said something really silly. Like, I think someone asked him in a press conference, like, is this happening in Canada soon? Is this going to be for us? And I think the response was, well, you know, in England, they don't really have any form of identification. So it just makes sense to do it there, you know? It's different here. And I was like, what? We have like 50 forms of identification already. What is he talking about? Why would he lie to his people like that? Like, England has more than enough forms of identification. You know, we have now, your driver's license, your birth certificate, your provisional license. You can get your national insurance number, your NHS number. You get your gateway tax login number as well. We are numbered up the wazoo. Like, we are tagged and bagged and labeled and set. We are a number in a machine, absolutely. Like, we have ample forms of ID already given to us that are necessary for us to live in this country and to do the most basic things. We do not need a digital ID. It will not change a single thing. And, you know, your national insurance number is a necessity if you want to work in this country, and the digital ID is no differently. Like, why do we? It's completely unnecessary. People are going to work illegally in this country already, even though they need a national insurance number. They're already working here illegally. What's one other thing they're going to just deny? like employers are already letting them work illegally after not presenting the national insurance number. So why are they going to bother about the ID? It changes nothing. And we know this. The public know this immediately. I was surprised by the public backlash towards this. I was pleasantly surprised in a way. I expected this just to roll through with little pushback and for people just to go, yeah, well, what are we going to do? It is what it is, and just accept it and move on. But it didn't seem to be public sentiment at all. It was the complete opposite. I think that most of the public has stood up and gone, what the hell is this? And you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to know this is bad. This is bad. This says nothing good at the end of this pipeline. And people felt it immediately. I feel like people stood up very quickly and have voiced their opinions very quickly. Like, no, I will not take this. Absolutely not. This is ridiculous. This is clearly a means to a very, very, very dark end. And Keir Starmer, our Prime Minister, who has pushed this through on behalf of the Labour government, has been torn apart over this massively. He has lost all popularity, even within his own party, like, his approval rates are gone. No one wants him there. No one wants him in power. Even his own party hates him for this choice. And it's kind of, no, like, no one's having it. Like, he has collapsed, publicly speaking. At the same time, we have Nigel Farage leading up the Reform Party, which has gained a lot of traction over the past few years. And there's an election coming in May, not that long from now. And if you don't know how British politics works, you vote in representatives for your constituencies. Right now, that could change even in this May election, and all those seats could suddenly get lost. It's a really complicated, weird system, but new leadership and new seats can be taken over, basically, and influence within the House of Parliament from constituencies can be added into that discussion, thanks to this election that's coming up. But what I'm saying is, in May, it seems like Nigel Farage and the Reform Party have set themselves up to win in May a big portion of seats in Parliament, because it can take over many constituencies very quickly. It seems like he's poised to do that. And it feels like what Keir Starmer has done has only helped him massively gain that foothold in the next election when it comes. That's what's going to happen. But Keir Starmer himself is in power until 2029. So there's going to be some kind of extremely odd power play going on in the next 4 years in this country. It's going to be so strange. And I can't predict how this is going to pan out at all. But we basically have a dictator who's following Blairite socialism and imposing it on the masses that do not want it and have voiced openly, we do not want this. No one wants this at all. Your own party even disagrees with you. But he's pushing it forward anyway. The cost of completely obliterating his own party in any future election, he doesn't seem to care about that. Like, Labour will be dead after this. They will not exist after this. Like, people are not taking it. So in a way, although it seems like, oh, you know, status quo, this is obviously just going to go through, everyone's going to... I don't think so. Something weird's happening here. Like, and even I've never seen in British politics before. Normal people are going, no. And maybe COVID had a lot to do with this. I think maybe a lot of normal people saw the absolute chaos that the government imposed on us during that time and the terrible decisions that were made and implemented upon the masses and the consequences of those. And I think people, a lot of people woke up in that time. And now this seems like another version of that, in a sense. And nobody trusts the government at all. Nobody in this country trusts the government. We know they're not for us. We know they're against us in many ways as well. And, you know, the excuse they're using right now is this is to stop immigration. And they're trying to push themselves on like a hot button topic that really affects the working class and the majority of British people, identity. And that's what the British people have an issue with right now. Who are we? You know, and who are the British people? And can we have an identity, a national identity? Or are we nothing but Nazis if we even consider such a thing because we're white, you know? I think a lot of that is coming bubbling up to the surface now after like decades of being stepped on and ridiculed and spat on by the social Marxist left, you know? And I think the pendulum's swinging the other way now. And this is why Nigel Farage's Reform Party is gathering momentum. And I think there is going to be a swing. I think there's going to be a big mix-up and change coming, and I think this digital ID is like a way to make that swing happen in some way. It just seems so odd, because it's kind of, it's a huge mistake on Labour's side to do this now. They must have seen, right, surely they must have seen that the reaction to this would be completely against them. I listen to a lot of political commentators who are not in the conspiracy game, and they seem to think it's all just completely organic because he's just a completely unaware, inept buffoon, you know, and he just doesn't realize the optics of anything he does. He genuinely believes the things he says, you know, and he's just blind in his bubble to the outside world. He's not boots on the ground. He's out of touch, and they say all these things, but it's kind of like, I don't know, man, if any of that's true. I think this guy's just following a long agenda that's been at play for an extremely long time. Because when you actually look into digital IDs, that's the means to the next step. That's phase one. What they eventually want to implement is that everything's on that ID, including your money, which they'll be able to switch off at will. And the end goal for a long time has been cashless society. They want a cashless society. That's always been the goal for a very long time, because if there's no cash and all the money is digital and controlled, then they can switch people off and they have no means to procure goods anymore because there's no such thing as cash. They have no means to barter or to trade or sell anymore outside of the system, the digital system, the cashless society, the cashless system. And we saw the popularization of like wearables. People have rings and watches where they can scan their watch to pay. And then we had contactless payment coming in with the cards, which was been here in the UK for a long time. I think it came to America a lot later. And these are stepping stones to get you used to just contactless paying without having to put your PIN in anymore or swiping anything or signing anything. You know, the convenience, you know, of why you have cash is convenient, right? You know, just quick boop, you're all done. Like, move on, let's keep going, you know. And that's already well ingrained into us, and cash is disappearing. And with COVID, a lot of companies decided to go cashless then, in a big way, to protect the people, to stop germs from spreading. And they never went back after COVID. They never returned to cash. It remained a cashless store, and we don't accept cash anymore, which has to be illegal in many ways when you really think about it. But it's just a done thing, right? Everyone goes along with it. No one questions it or thinks about it because it seems so convenient. Or why would you want to use cash? It's disgusting anyway, you know. Ew, why bother with that? Why would you just tap your card? Why use cash, you know? And they don't. Most people don't consider the implications of it not being available because a lot of people have implicitly trusted their governments and the banking systems and the corporations for some reason. So they've had no reason to question why use cash? Why bother, you know? It seems so perfect to go cashless. And it's been sold to us for a long time. It's a slow drip feed, you know, frog in the pan slowly, turning the heat up so he doesn't notice he's being cooked alive situation. And this digital ID we've seen coming for a long time. I'm talking like well over a decade, if not longer. Like a long time. We've known this is the end goal. Ideally, what they want is a little chip in your hand. I'm gonna chip everybody like you would a dog or a pet or cattle. And everything will be on the chip. So you won't even need to carry around that pesky phone anymore. It's like, oh no, it's just scan your chip. Boop, there's everything we know about you. There's all your entire medical records on that chip. You've got your entire address, your phone number, where you work, you know, your social credit score while we're at it, and where you stand in society, and your opinions, and where you stand politically will be on there. You know, your blood type will be on there. Everything will be on there, including your money. Everything. And you step out of line. You have the wrong opinion at the wrong time, we'll just turn your chip off. What are you going to do then? And that's control. That's the ultimate control, isn't it, of the slave class. That's worst end goal scenario for us. That's if we let them get there, then yeah, we are in trouble by that point. And there'll be rewards for going along with the system, you know. There'll be rewards, and many people who will go along with it because they want to gain the system and gain the rewards. You know, the first 10,000 people to get the chip get a £10,000 reward or something like this. There'll be benefits to playing the game and to being a part of the system. And that's perfect and works great for people who have never once considered that they may be being used by nefarious people for nefarious purposes and are actually a part of agendas being played way outside of their realms of understanding. Because they never considered to understand for any second that there could be people who don't have their best interests at heart using them. And I think things have changed. And I don't think this is going through as smoothly, perhaps, as they were anticipating. But I speculated, well, if it doesn't get through this time with Starmer, and it seems like it's not going to, I think it's going to get dead in the water before it really kicks off. I think it's going to be a revolution. I think people are going to fight back against it and say no. I think not this time. Maybe they'll push it back a generation and try again in the future when some new catastrophe comes along that requires it and everyone accepts it as the best thing for us. Who knows? But I feel like they've definitely overplayed their hand. And it's made more people go, what the hell? What is this, 1984? You know, I think a lot of people have seen immediately, this is bad. And any argument he comes up with of why it's good, everyone's like, no, still sounds evil. Like, no, we're not doing that. No, that seems to be the general reaction. And I'm shocked that that's the general reaction. But then if I can get really cynical and conspiratorial, it's like, well, is that the plan all along? Did they know people would react like this? And maybe this is to get the more right-wing politics in leadership now. Maybe they're trying to kill the Useful Idiots, which was the liberal social Marxist left, which has had control for a long time. But maybe they were always supposed to lose that control. Maybe that's a part of the script. Like, they were never supposed to be in power for long. They were supposed to be in power long enough to galvanize the Christian right types, the nationalist types, so we can get them in control as the pendulum swings the other way. And now it's time for the left to eat themselves alive and die so this new thing can come in, which might actually be better at controlling the masses from now on if that type of party and mindset was in control. And I feel like more of a war mindset needs to be in power now, a fighting mindset. And if we can make the people think that they've won and taken back control, then they'll never question the narrative as it goes forward when wars begin and they need to start conscripting people for the next big fight. You know, maybe something like that's on the go. And this brings me back to the Third World War situation that we're talking about, Albert Pike's heavily contested letter. But the idea that Israel and the nations of Islam are going to mutually destroy each other in some Third World War scenario, and the Christians are going to be restrained by the communist liberal types until they need them for the final cataclysm. And it seems like Christianity right now is being unrestrained. But it's not Christianity, it's churchianity. And there's a big difference, huge difference.
I want you to get together.